Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everybody, and welcome home. For the past few years, we've always started our programs with this statement, and we mean it, because community is a place that we all should call home, a place that gives us peace, a place that gives us tranquility, and a place that we know is going to be there. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes faith in the Quran, He mentions stability as being a requirement for faith to grow. Asluha thabit wa faruha fis sama', that its roots are firm and its branches grow to the sky. If we don't have stability, if we don't have permanence, if we don't know that something is going to be there for us, then our faith won't be able to grow. This is why when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina and made the migration, the hijrah, with his companions, at that moment, when they arrived at their new permanent home, he said the beautiful phrase, "Afshu salam," spread peace. Why? Because peace can be attained now that we have a place that we can call home. For the past 5 years, Roots has been able to be a part of so many people's lives, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah. And we're so honored to have that be a part of our legacy. But we've been doing it in temporary spaces. We've been doing it in hotel banquet halls, in masjid side rooms, in people's living rooms at home, and in temporary lease spaces where when we were signing the lease, we knew that this was not going to be there forever. But that can change. By the favor of Allah, with our foundational organization, Qalam, we've been able to find this beautiful property here in Carrollton, Texas, that will be the permanent location and facility for the Roots community space. A place where everybody can feel that tranquility and have that growth of faith that Allah Ta'ala tells us about. We need your help to close on this property. We need you to generously donate and contribute whatever you can, adding your name to this list of people that will help build and construct a permanent home for us to build the model community following the example of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina. Help us make this dream a reality. Visit rootsdfw.org/home.
Okay, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah. Assalamu alaihi wa alihi wa alihi wa alihi. Alhamdulillah. Welcome. Feels so awesome to say that. Alhamdulillah. How do you guys like it? It's not done yet, but we're working on it, inshallah. But this is, inshallah, the future home of, you know, not only the Roots community that we've been building now, alhamdulillah, for a long time, for 5 years or so, but also for the Qalam Seminary that many of you guys know, mashallah, or are the beneficiaries of, you know, so many students that do so much great work in the community. Actually, the second floor to this building. Seminary is going to be up there, inshallah, all 5 years of the Islamic studies program, including year one, which is Arabic. Shout out to Ustaz Ubaidullah, mashallah. Call him Obi Bryant. Okay, mashallah. I just came up with that actually like 10 minutes ago. So I can't believe no one has anyone said that before? All right, you know, I'm a trendsetter, that's what I am. Okay. And then we're going to have a masjid inside of here that's going to be able to, you know, fit many, many people, inshallah, for time and other things. So, you know, if you weren't able to make it on Saturday for our open house, you know, where we had over fed them and spent time with everybody, you know, welcome here for the first time. And alhamdulillah, we're happy to have everybody here and can't wait to, you guys are going to be seeing, this actually isn't where Roots is going to be. Roots is going to have its own entrance, and we're going to have, inshallah, roughly, you know, 5,800 square feet coffee shop. Everyone say, hola, amin. A co-working space from 8 to 5 on weekdays for you who work from home. So you come work from Ruth and Salah. You know, we'll be able to, like, we work and praying in the corner, be able to pray and all right, live your best life, as they say. So, alhamdulillah, we're really, really happy to have you here. It's our honor, and I hope that you guys are as excited as I am, you know, about this, alhamdulillah. Okay, so today we're talking about a disease that when I spoke to a mental health counselor, a specialist who worked, he told me that this disease particularly described it as an unfair fight. He said that this disease, when it inflicts a person, when it impacts a person, is something that is just so absolutely rampant and so control that it is what he calls just a completely and totally unfair fight.
And, you know, there's not going to be any sort of like sharing of experiences or things like that, because the assumption is that having lived here, having, you know, myself been born here at least, and having grown up here and lived and being, you know, living here now, this disease is something that afflicts every single person, whether that person is aware or unaware, conscious or, you know, not conscious of it. It's happening at all times. And there are, you know, millions and millions of dollars being spent to capitalize, to be able to capture your eyes and ears. Ghazali explains why. You know, Imam Ghazali didn't get a degree in advertising or marketing, but he knows exactly why companies that we all, you know, shop from and love and respect and, you know, seek their products for the, you know, the approval of people that we don't even care about. That was just a little self-deprecating joke, okay? He knows why these people spend this kind of money. The reason he said is that if you want to touch a person's heart, you can try in many different ways, but the quickest way to get to a person's heart is through their eyes, what they see, and through their ears, what they're listening to. Everything else is secondary. The cognitive arguments, right? The logical discussions, everything that we think convinces people, it doesn't actually convince people. If you've ever tried to convince somebody to show them something before they've actually seen it with their own eyes, it's very difficult. But the minute that you're actually able to show somebody, right, your point visually and actually allow them to see it before their eyes, like the Prophet said, لَيْسَ الْخَبَرُ كَالْمُعَيَنَةِ, that hearing something is not like seeing it, okay? So with the power that comes with the sight that Allah Ta'ala has given us, with that power that has been gifted to us and the power of being able to hear something, it's no secret and it's no surprise that with great power comes great responsibility, or great risk. With great responsibility comes opportunity for success and also for failure. So there's an entire section of discussion when it comes to purification of the heart on how to protect one's eyes. Now, I know that we're going to talk about the most obvious, you know, discussion, which is protecting one's eyes from immoral things. All right, we'll talk about that. But this discussion actually starts earlier than that. It's not just a discussion about, you know, looking at somebody that's not dressed appropriately or not dressed at all. It's not just talking about looking at something that is, you know, sexually explicit. Sorry for the baby that's here. Hope you can't understand yet. Okay, right? If they're toddlers, please raise your hand. Let me know, because I'll change my language. But I want to make it so that it's very understood. You don't want to speak in figurative language when we have to make specific points, right? Not only that, it's that a person understands that the eyes are the doorway to the heart, and as a result of that, they protect it by any means necessary. So the Quran actually gives us a very interesting concept. The Quran says, "Qul lil-mu'minina yaghuddu min absarihim," that believers, and here Allah Ta'ala is speaking to the men, but then in the next verse, "Qul lil-mu'minat," speaking to the women, that they actually physically lower their gaze. Ghad al-basar, when you look at the Arabic of it, actually doesn't translate to looking away from something, but actually translates in the dictionaries, the verb means down, to lower one's eyesight, to actually take it from level or wherever it may be across the horizon and look at the ground. And this is so apparent in the life of the Prophet ﷺ that there was a narration that used to look down more than he would look at the sky. This was part of his nature. And when you look at this hadith, actually, there's a couple beautiful explanations of it. The first is the most obvious one, which is what? If you look down, then you're protecting yourself. Because everything that's dangerous for a person to look at is not on the ground, right? Chances are, I'm not a betting person, it's haram, but if I were, okay, then I would bet that 99 times out of 100, you're not gonna see anything on the ground right in front of you that's impermissible, okay? Now, this brings up the whole discussion. Well, like, okay, well, what if it was like incidental? What if I didn't mean it? I heard this whole thing about first look is for you, second look is against you. Not, you can't extend it, perv, right? Okay. There's a hadith. We'll talk about it, okay? But all of that conversation, what the, see, about now is what is permissible, what is permissible. What is allowed and what is not allowed. The bare minimum. What is halal is the bare minimum. What is haram is the threshold. But this discussion, hard work, is not about bare minimums. Sure, we cover those things, but we're talking about how to make the heart the best thing possible. How to make the heart so beautiful that it, right now we're sitting in a building that's bare minimum. What if I told you, like, this is it? Welcome to Roots. You're like, where's the coffee shop? I'm like, well, there's warm water in the faucet. We got food in the corner. And there's a spoon. I don't know what it's used for, right? Mix it up. That's bare minimum. Is coffee? Kind of. A'udhu billahi min thalik. May Allah protect us from such coffee, right? Or if we offered Nescafe Gold or whatever, right? I don't know, right? Okay. Nescafe Gold is a very, it's like a lineage thing, okay? We hold on to it dearly. So this is bare minimum. That's not how we operate. And we don't even operate this, like this in our lives. You know, bare minimum is manual windows. You guys remember that those days? Some of you, you know, you never had to roll down a window and it shows. Okay? Like that was a thing, man. My dad used to tell us in Chicago in the summer, someone go out there and roll down all the windows before we go to like let the heat out of the car. Now I have my keys, you just hit once, twice, and hold it down, all of them open. I have automatic start. This is like black magic. This is like some sort of gin assistant, right? Manual windows, okay? Manual, you guys ever remember, who here ever listened to tape cassettes? Anybody? Okay, do you remember when you had to rewind it all the way to the beginning? There was no track for 15 seconds. There was, right? Or take a pencil and put it in there and twist it by hand if it got too out of control. That's bare minimum living, right? We don't accept that for anything. You could get AC or you could just go with your windows down. We don't accept that. So why do we accept that for spirituality? Why do I always tell myself that it's okay as long as I'm barely getting there? You know, the hadith about the last paradise, it's a powerful hadith, but I don't want to be that guy. You know what I mean? It's powerful and it's reassuring and it's emotional, but I don't want to be that one, right? I want Allah Ta'ala to get me in there way earlier than that. Right now, if at all, don't get me wrong, I'm very happy. But I don't want to have to be the last person to enter. Right? May Allah Ta'ala make us amongst the first. So when we talk about what to do with our eyesight, and you hear a narration like the Prophet ﷺ used to look down more than he looked up, a lot of times you're like, that seems kind of extreme. Well, the Prophet ﷺ was very smart. He was the smartest human being to ever have lived. And what's he teaching us? What's he showing us? He's saying, sure. You can walk around the world, you can drive on the highways, you can look at the billboards, you can leave the TV on during commercials, right? You can do all of that. And yes, it is true that in Sharia, if you don't know that something impermeable is going to be put before your eyes, before your sight, then yes, it is true that you are not held to account once it is in front of you. Yes, okay? You cannot be held to account for that which you didn't know. But guess what? Your heart is more valuable than taking chances. So he would look down. Now, another explanation that you find in the commentary is when a person's life comes to an end, what's the first journey? What's the first destination on their new journey? What is it? When they die, what's the first destination on your journey through death? The grave. And then to where? So one scholar beautifully said that the Prophet was focused on his next stop before focused on his event. This is the reality. And it's another meaning, right? Because when you think about what your not is, you don't have time to get distracted by your desires. You don't have time. You're thinking, man, this could be it. This could be my last day. This could be my last moment. You know, I pulled my back on Saturday playing basketball. Look, let me just explain something. Everyone's like, why are you playing basketball? Okay. At 7:30 in the morning. It's not a good story because it's just setting me up for failure. Let me just explain, okay? It's a group of old men. We have an old men agreement. You know what that is? It means what? Don't try too hard. Just don't try too hard. Like the rebound, let it fall to the court. Let it bounce three times before someone picks it up, right? If you got beat on defense, instead of chasing the guy down, just cheer him on. Hey man, make it, right? You're on the opposite team, go for it. Like, it's not that bad. We get pretty competitive. Right? Usually it's me and then Sheikh Omar's in the other. call size, and then it's like, yeah, from there. So what happens, may Allah Ta'ala protect all of our backs, all right? I'm going for a layup, and there's one of the brothers, my block from behind, he's a little bit shorter than me, and he gets my shoulders, pulls me back, and I just crumble to the ground. I just fall. And it was like the second play of the game. I didn't even get to work. Apple Watch was like, are you done? It was like 14 calories. I'm like, this is the worst day of my life. So I drive home, I get injured, and I am out. I can't do anything. I can't sit. I didn't eat all day. Going to the bathroom, I needed to ask for help. From just pulling them up, shows us, subhanAllah, how weak we are, how insignificant sometimes our capability is. It's true. Allah Ta'ala did give humans honor. It's true. Allah Ta'ala did give us the potential to do amazing things. It's true. But we have to remember Allah Ta'ala says what? وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. I made human beings. Human beings were made with some weakness. We have our weaknesses. So this disease revolves around being able to mitigate the damage from our weaknesses. If you know you have a vulnerability, it takes care of that. So lowering the gaze. So what are some of the things we should be lowering our gaze from before the obvious stuff? Well, some scholars talk about other people's things. That's actually the first thing to mention. Don't look at other people's things. Why? What does that do? Who had a bad experience here looking at someone else's belongings? What happens, y'all? You become okay. One of the effects of it is that you become ungrateful. Why? Said it. You said it? Okay. So, hey, what do you say when you see someone else's and you become ungrateful? What are you saying internally? What's your heart saying? I wish I had that. Like when I got my first car, I was a cab, proud, across the street, the dealership. And I was rolling out in the Cha Cha Mobile, right? Uncle car. Pull with the message, they're like, mashallah. And then across the street is an ISF or something. I'm like, man, what's wrong with you, right? And I did about the fact that I was a college grad who got a brand new car, right? So human beings are so weak, man. We see something nice and shiny, and we instantly forget all the things that people pray for that we have. Ajib, right? So ingratitude, what else happens? Huh? You get curious. Interesting. What do you mean by that? See a name that has a heart next to it? You're like, what? You're like, wait, what's going on here, right? That's very good, right? That's actually the next thing that was mentioned, which is that you should not look at things that you violate an amana with. Hey, do you mind handing me my phone real quick? I'm like, yeah. Or this one's actually very common. If you guys ever Wallahi, one time a person laughed next to me at the movie I was watching. I only noticed because I laughed. And they laughed. And I was like, where's your phone? And they were laughing at the point. So the eyes that creep over, right? Or, hey, let me show you this message. I scroll, and the bottom part has the message I want you to read. The top part is the part that you're not supposed to read. But the eyes start to wander, right? Some people get courageous. They even start, hold on, I need context. No, you don't. I'm showing you what you need. No, I need the whole picture. Right? So, like, that's not right. So, you need to be controlled from other people's blessings. You need to be controlled from other people's secrets to keep. And then, and I'll tell you guys one of the most beautiful stories ever, right? It's so amazing. It was one of the most amazing things that ever happened in my life because it happened with me in the sense that it wasn't a proof of anything about me. It was a proof of this amazing heart of this woman that I saw. When my wife and I first got our nikah, obviously I'm half Irish, okay? Like white as rice. She is Bengali. We don't match in terms of, right? Like we would not come from the same nuclear family. You gotta make sense? Unless there was some generous adopted parents. Okay? We got same nuclear family. Nikah done in college before we moved in. So there was no walima, there was not like a i'lan, there wasn't like an announcement, right? It was just kind of like, you know, we got our nikah done, we were both in college. So we went to the mall together, because that's what nikah couples do. Look at all the things we can't afford. So we went walking through, Right? Subhanallah, window shopping, right? The eyes. You just go and look and you're like, oh, I want that. You didn't even know you wanted it. So we're walking through and we see this Muslim walking in the masjid, or not in the masjid, in the mall. Astaghfirullah. Up the masjid, the mall. And she comes to us, and I'll never forget what she said. She started panicking because Mahreen was like in charge of her youth group. And now she's with this like random stranger white dude. Yeah. And so she started panicking because she didn't know, you know, 70 excuses. She's trying to figure out, and they're holding hands. Oh my God. Like, is he blind? Maybe she's helping him walk. You know, she says, is this your brother? And she's like, no, it's not my brother. She goes, is this his family? She goes, yeah, we got our nikah. And then he's like, oh, alhamdulillah. Like, she's that's the best scenario. Because what happens when you see something you're not supposed to see? You start to create this line and script in the background. And then shaitan, dude, just like the Prophet ﷺ said, shaitan, he runs through you like your blood. He's so in it. This is one of his. So the Prophet ﷺ is standing outside the masjid one night talking. And Safiya radiallahu anha, yes, Umm al-Mu'mineen, our mother. And what happens? The Prophet ﷺ, he sees couple companions walk by, and as they walk by, the hadith says that they kind of walked quickly, because when you think that you saw something, you kind of walk quickly, right? And so the Prophet ﷺ calls them back, and he tells them, you guys know that that was my wife. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, of course, we would never doubt you. And he says, I know, but shaitan, he runs through you like your blood, man. Like, you go home, and you think, who was that? I didn't see her. Is he just talking? Maybe he was maybe come up with this stuff. So the scholars talk about this. All of this, the source of this are the eyes. That if a person's eyes are greedy and looking around and trying to find things, you guys ever met someone in real life that you already knew everything about them from Instagram or Facebook? That's kind of a manifestation, right? Got something. Oh, who's that in the background? Tap people, find out their name, go through five. Not him. Okay, him. Go type through. People we joke about because it's normalized, but it's not normal. It's not normal to be a detective in your hobbies, right? It's not normal. So we ask Allah to protect our eyes. So what are some of the, now the next thing that of course speaks about, Allah Ta'ala speaks this ayah, the ayah about lowering the gaze, is of course the impact that the gaze has on the desires in the heart of a person. So we talked about like the material desires, like, oh, you see something you want, or you get jealous, or you get envious, or whatnot, okay? But then there's obviously the discussion about seeing something that it creates a desire, a sexual desire inside of a person. And this is where the Prophet ﷺ, he advised and he warned and he taught, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, advised and warned and taught about what? That a person should lower their gaze, min absarihim, okay? It's tied together. They should lower their gaze and protect their private parts, basically, right? Why? Because what a person sees, said, instantly impacts a person's heart. And if that person starts to lust and desire over what they've seen, the heart becomes the soil, the fertile soil, in which all of those ideas start to now get planted. And they start to root. No pun intended. And they start to become something that cannot be taken away because the person has to think about it over and over again. And so we're taught, that's why Allah Ta'ala, he says, la taqrabu zina. Don't come near fornication. The scholars say, what does this mean? Don't come near fornication. Does it mean like physically don't go near? What does it mean? It means that there's any route that will lead someone to fornicating, that a person should avoid it altogether. It's so powerful that in Hadith Prophet ﷺ, he said that not only does a person fornicate with their body, right, having sex illegitimately, but a person fornicates with what? With their eyes. When a person looks, and we even have these phrases, undressing someone with their eyes, okay? Like looking at somebody lustfully. It's one of the sins of the heart, even in every religious tradition, not just Islam. And this is where the idea begins. Ibn al-Qayyim says, the person sees what they hear, it will inevitably become what's in their reality. And we keep putting these things in front of our eyes, and we start wondering, why is this something that is on my mind? Well, because, again, we're not protecting the pathways to the heart. So the Prophet ﷺ said that the eyes can be lustful. It fornicates. And the Prophet ﷺ said, listening, the ears also fornicate. You know, I mean, I don't even have to tell stories about this. You guys have obviously heard the content. Like, and this is what's interesting is that people, they ask, like, how? Okay, there's actually a legitimate scholarly difference about music being haram. Very legitimate. I've asked many scholars, like old scholars, about music being haram. What they're talking about? They're talking about, like, Beethoven. If you recited that as spoken word poetry with no music, it would be problematic. So then what about the adding that to that track, right? So listening to these things casually, and they create warped ideas. It's okay, inshallah. He's just vibing, right? It's fine. Baby's welcome. Everyone welcome here. Welcome home, right? Come to my house, there's babies there too, right? Well, they're big now. But this is something that, again, it plants a seed of thought within the heart. I taught English in high school for 2 years. One of the projects that I did was I taught 1 year in a public, 1 year in an Islamic private school. And I remember it was very different experiences. And when I taught private school, I remember one of the things that I tried to do to teach people how powerful language was to do a deconstructive critique, to deconstruct the music that he listened to. Okay? Admit it, like growing up until I think about the lyrics now, I'm like, what is being said? The objectification, not just of women, but of the human being in general. Of course, with certain artists, it's more on the side of women than men, but it's both sides. There was a song, and this shows you how old I am. It was a Jason Derulo song. And in the song, he's telling his wife that he was unfaithful on her. And he says, to infidelity, I will get you whatever you want, as long as you come back to me. Right? Now, the way that's, and when you hear it with the beat and with the harmony and the instruments, it's like, wow. That's kind of messed up, dude. Like, you literally just cheated on her. And now you're saying, I'll buy you something? And that's it? Like, she didn't forget about that? You were with another woman. She didn't know where you were. Like, play out the song in your mind. It's problematic. And the reason why, it's not that serious. It is. It really is. There was a friend of mine who was having trouble getting over a breakup. And after I told him this is why dating is haram. After I told him that, okay, and come fight me. If you want to fight me with that, fight me with that. After I told him, this is why dating is haram, because the breakup is so painful. It's even more painful than being lonely, right? You'll get there, inshallah, eventually. But the breakup sucks. And he was crying to me. And he sees himself as a man's man. And he starts telling me, I'm so sad. I can't get over it, this and that. I'm like, hang out with people, do this. And then he asked my mind, what are you listening to right now? Dude pulls up John Mayer. Dude pulls up Howie Day, pulls up all these like sad, like, you know, like if I were only with you, right? Like this and that. I'm like, bro, of course, man. Why don't you think you can? I can't. Why? Because John Mayer is doing West Westa in your ears about girl. That's why you can't stop. It's a real thing. It's a genuinely real thing. It's powerful. The impact that this stuff has. Okay. So ears can also fornicate. They can create that mood of desire that is problematic, that affects the heart. And the Prophet ﷺ said the tongue can fornicate, right? There's all these examples of like adult literature, okay? And they're written in such like horrific detail that people come across them and it completely warps. And some of them are so poisonous and so problematic. Of what true romance and intimacy should be. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the hand can fornicate, right? And he says that the feet can fornicate. All of these things, they play a role in this action. Now, why is he so powerful? And then the Prophet, of course, he says that. And then the actual being itself can fornicate in totality. And he says that all of these limbs, all of these parts of the body, they push this person to this action that otherwise they never have done it. It's step by step. I can't tell you how many people I've sat in front of crying to me, I never thought I'd do that. Right? Never thought I would do that. And of course, Allah can forgive everything. There's a hadith I want to share with you at the end that will give you goosebumps. But I can't tell you how many people, and think about your own self. You don't have to think about maybe zina. May Allah protect us. But you think about other sins. I never thought I'd be that person. Never thought I would say those things, right? That's how shaitan works, okay? So what are some of the causes of disease? Number one, the causes of uncontrolled gaze is the degradation and the disintegration of a person's hand, their shyness. The Prophet says that every religious tradition has a character trait. Every single one has a character trait. Some scholars about this hadith, they say that the true Christianity that was brought by Isa alayhi salam, it was mercy, right? They talk about different things. It was izzah. Like they talk about, they kind of, you know, pontificate and speculate. What was it? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, my religious tradition, my deen that I was brought with, the characteristic is haya, is modesty. Modesty in the way that we talk, in the way that we walk, in the way that we act, in the way that we think, right? And this is why it's important. Ask yourself, when you see somebody from the opposite gender, do you think of them as an opportunity or a responsibility community? And this is, there's a fortunate sort of thread sometimes within people of everything, every object, animate, inanimate, every person is a sexual opportunity. And we're told, oh, that's normal. Have you guys read Freud? Freud was weird. I have my undergrad, right? I did my master's in mental health. He was a little off, right? Like a little off. Maybe some things he was accurate, but a broken clock is right twice a day. Like it doesn't prove anything. The sexual ubiquitousness that's flowing through. Everyone looks, oh, that person single, this and this and this. Why do you see that person? Do they need help? Is that right? Right? Thinking about it from those things has worn away at us like water through a fountain of a place. Everywhere you go, tomorrow, I want you to count how many times you were exposed to something explicit that you didn't choose to be exposed to. It was just kind of put in front of your eyes. Okay? Literally, I have a friend of mine, Ustad Ubaidullah, Obi Bryant. You know what he did? One of the best things in the world he ever did for me. He got me an ad blocker from my browser. Twitter replaces all ads. Every ad. Why? Because the ads were things like out of control. And I'm sitting here teaching. Someone's like, can I ask you a question? I'm like, yeah, I'm scrolling. And they see that and they're like, what are you teaching? And I'm like, God, nothing. It's the, I had no intention. So now it's just puppies, Labradors, right? Chihuahuas, all these. This is a funny instance, but it's a true solution, which is that if you notice that these things are being thrust upon you, whether it's the same gender or opposite gender, protecting one's eyes is of the essence. And if we become desensitized to it, even in part, that's only part of the journey to being desensitized to it in whole. So what happens is when a person loses that modesty in what they see, then as the Prophet says, it transfers over to the ear, it transfers them to what they talk about, start to just, hey, did you see her? Did you see him? The comment, yum. Right? I saw so many people just go, God. Not because you, but because you know you've seen it. Right? A picture of a person, a woman, or a wow, they comment on. And subhanAllah, the courage took to display lack of honesty, it's obviously transcended just the eyes now. That's the telling us that exactly the lust. And eventually, into what's normal. This is why, all jokes aside, I make fun of Game of Thrones. People ask me, did you watch it? I said, no, I didn't watch. I don't watch porn. Because these things, it's like, is that normal? Is it normal for me to be watching something for enjoyment? Television shows are by default not haram, but it's normal. And I'm sure what sex scene is going to be put in front of my eyes today. What kind of minds wrote these things? What kind of imaginations came up with this? Oh, he's a great storyteller. I don't know, it's kind of weird to me, right? Maybe some of it was great, sure. I'm not about to dog on everything, but maybe it's a little bit problematic, right? But we lost even the sensitivity to that as a generation, I include myself in this, because it's just so normal, right? So losing that sensitivity. The second cause that a person has forgotten that just like you're looking at something right there, Allah is actually looking at you in that moment. Allah is al-basir. He sees everything. So the eyes that are staring at this thing, Allah is looking upon the person whose eyes are looking upon that thing, and Allah Ta'ala's disappointment. Allah Ta'ala's his disappointment in that person at that moment. Of course, he'll always accept them back. Even if they do it time and time again, he'll accept them back. But I've given you those eyes to witness signs of creation that will remind you of your purpose, of your existence. And this is what you look at. Forget the industry itself, the sexually explicit stuff. Forget. You guys see on the news what happened to that pornographic, like personal submission OnlyFans? They banned pornography. And then 3 days later, they were like, oh, never mind. Because there was such an uproar from people that how could you ban this from us? This is what happens. People have forgotten that their eyes and hearts are being monitored. And it's almost like people on Twitter saying like, yeah, it's fine, no problem. This is great. If you think it's great, then maybe imagine you sitting watching your son or daughter's bedroom, watching it, or whether it's even worse, may Allah protect us. This is the kind of stuff that just like goes through society. You gotta be careful with this, okay? Some of the symptoms of this disease, and this is unfortunate, the watching and the glancing when nobody's looking, okay? Or when you think nobody's looking. That, you know, a person walks by and you look at them. Person goes by, you know, on your feet and you stop and you look at them. You think nobody's watching. That's one of the signs. Number two, when a person gets so courageous that they start to like make comments about this person. This is blows my mind. You guys ever seen those videos of 1 minute of being a woman walking in New York? You ever seen that? It's like the scariest thing I've ever, like, it's like the most, it's insane. Basically, for those of you who don't know, there's a girl who puts a camera, a phone or something. Oh, the in front of her has a phone or something like that. It's able to capture her walking. And she's just walking. And by the way, for those who are like, what was she wearing? No, she actually was wearing a jacket, right? And all these guys, everyone she walks by, they tell her, hey, smile, hey, this, hey, that, hey, can I have your... And then comments to her. Like, how shameless a person has to be to say that, to do that. Imagine if that was, you know, that's why the Prophet ﷺ said when the young man said, Ya Rasulullah, can I commit zina? Just asked him. By the way, side note, how cool must the Prophet ﷺ have been that a young man's like, is it okay? All the companions were stunned. They were like, excuse me? The Prophet ﷺ was like, relax. Let me handle this. And what did he tell him? He said, look, you're asking about so-and-so, this girl, right? This woman. He says, yeah. He goes, I can't marry her. I love her and I want to get her. And the Prophet says, okay. Human desire, understandable. But let me say to you, this woman, right? She is an honored, right, servant of Allah. She has family. She is somebody that's to be respected. Would you like it if you heard about someone in your family being asked about like this? He said, no. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, exactly. And he put his hand on his chest. And he said, oh, Allah, purify his heart. When he walked away, that companion said, when I came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was nothing more beloved to me than zina. Like, I couldn't think of anything else. And when I left his gathering, I hated nothing more than that same action. The power of perspective. So this girl's walking in New York and all these guys are catcalling her and her. Certain of idiotic courage. That signs of a completely immoral society. Some neighborhoods in Philadelphia where all this time my friends were going there to eat, some neighborhoods where if walking in the street, even people like gang affiliated will like make way for her. They'll like part the road, part the sidewalk. If anyone makes a comment, they would say something, right? Stop that person. This is as much as a person has these problems, right, gang affiliation, maybe is engaged in some things that are less than wholesome, but look at the moral fabric that people still have within them. We have to restore this, okay? So making comments to close friends, hey, do you see her? Do you see him? This and this. Not cool, man. Not good. And if you're genuinely interested, there's a way to communicate that. That's wholesome. That's pious. You know, one time there was a man called Abbas, he was sitting with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and a woman came to ask the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a question, and he found her to be beautiful. And he was like daydreaming. He's like, wow. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took his hands as he's answering the question of the woman. He takes the chin of Fadl and he turns it away. Stop looking. He wasn't being like he wasn't being crude. He was just a young guy that was like just starstruck, enamored. God, this is the most beautiful person I've ever seen in my life. He didn't know what this is. And the Prophet was like, turn your face, okay? You know, it's amazing how when a person wants to do something the right way, there's always a right way to do it, right? Ask that when a person eventually is unable to control themselves. Whatever they see, they look. Whatever they see, they stare. Whatever they see, they, you know, engage even worse. So places just aren't safe sometimes to go. And it's sad. It's horrible, right? Have you seen the search statistics for pornography in the world? We're like the top five countries, Muslim majority countries. This is so sad. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to stand in the night and cry for his ummah. And what? Allah forgive us. Allah protect our eyes. So what are some fears from this? Number one, generally, remember, not just the sexual explicitness, but also everything. My eyes just constantly looking at people's stuff. Oh, where'd she get that outfit from? Oh, where'd he get that phone from? Oh, where'd he get the, all that stuff. Oh, that house, how'd they, I know what he makes, how do you afford that, right? Which, by the way, I had a party and one of our friends got a house and a person asked, how do you afford that, right? Yeah, we gotta be careful. We gotta be careful, man. The eyes, they start to do stuff, man. Number one is fasting. And this is what Imam al-Ghazali, he wrote an entire section of his Ihya, Kasr al-Shahwatain, breaking the two desires. Maybe we should read it together as a heartwork class. How to break two desires. Indulging and constantly eating and not being able to discipline one's intake, it also manifests indulging in the other desire as well, the sexual desire. And so being able to fast is one of the greatest, like, body, mind, soul boots ever do. Because you prove to Allah that I can stay away from anything. I can stay away from water on a hot day, right? If you drink in a Texas summer, you can definitely look away when you know you're supposed to, right? So fasting is very powerful. Number two, being active, not sitting idle, being with people, being amongst community is a really good way to restrict yourself from falling into the trap of your eyes wandering to things that they shouldn't. Being around others, spending time with people, which necessitates putting down the phone, disconnecting. And number three, and this is something that I'm going to just talk about very briefly before I finish the hadith and some questions, is every person make dua to Allah, that Allah Ta'ala, A, protects them, because it's difficult. Like I said, my friend said, it's not a fair fight anymore. And number two, that Allah Ta'ala make marriage easy for them. Let me qualify this, because I know there's a lot of people that struggle with this as well, okay? Marriage is not the end-all solution for an addiction to this problem with wandering. It's not the end-all be-all, okay? It's also not nothing, right? Because I remember, I was talking to Sheikh about this earlier. In the 80s, marriage was what? Just protection, get them married. Why? Because of sex. Okay, and then all of a sudden, stories and more instances of people being unfaithful, even within marriage, people struggling with pornography, even within marriage, people wandering eyes within marriage, right? So it's clear that that wasn't the answer. So then we took, you know, which is what? That I don't want to hear marriage meant the solution to this problem at all. That's the opposite. We're not a religion of extremes, right? We are a religion. Allah Ta'ala has given us solutions to every problem. Those solutions are not solutions if we don't use them as solutions, right? That Allah allowed you through halal means to have that you can look at and you can wonder at their beauty forever, right? And not yourself, not the mirror, okay? Everyone's like, I do this, I'm not married. Who's he talking about? He allowed this through means that are not only halal, but are actually reward-worthy. The companion said, Ya Rasulullah, there was a question about if you are sharing an intimate moment with your spouse, right? What is the satisfaction? The Prophet said, Allah rewards you for that. And the companion, that's like a bodily desire. Like, why does Allah reward us for that? It's like saying Allah rewards us for eating or using the bathroom, right? And the Prophet said, but isn't there always an alternative option that's punishable? Isn't there always a consequence for something else? So if you held strong, and if you focused, and if you exhibited shukr to Allah, and focused on the beauty that was before you, then Allah Ta'ala rewards that. And the scary thing is that a person struggles with this stuff, man, may Allah Ta'ala protect us. It's never too late to stop. But a person who struggles with it and they fall in love with the haram, they find it very difficult to appreciate the halal. Images, videos, they will look at someone who is incredibly beautiful in front of them, or so handsome, amazing, nur just blasting out of every pore, right? I know that did not sound very attractive. You're like, they have a problem? You see a dermatologist? No. Just amazing. Like, anyone would look at that person and be like, wow. But because this person's heart is so covered in darkness, they look and they say, not for me. Not for me. What I'm used to is not real. What I'm used to is not made by Allah. It's made by the hands of surgeons. What I'm used to is airbrushed and filtered and photoshopped. So when I see beauty in front of me, and this is one of the punishments Ibn Atta'illah says. Ibn Atta'illah says one of the punishments of doing haram is that you can do haram. Always look to say, what made me become this monster? Now, one hadith that I want to share, because this is one of Shah's greatest moments, is that he tries to take us down. Shaitan from day one took an oath to Allah that he wanted to try to suffer. Shaitan is not like a cute bad guy. He's not like a fuzzy like villain. Shaitan wants to see you crying on the floor in misery. He wants to see your family destroyed. He wants to see your faith crumble. He wants to see your doubt in Allah. He wants to see all of this. So before Shaitan says to Allah, and it's interesting, he still refers to Allah as the Lord. Okay? In the thought, where is that the ILB? SubhanAllah, he says, by your honor, my Lord. He knows. He recognizes that Allah is the Rabb. He says, لا أبرح, okay, أغوي عبادك ما دامت أرواحهم في أجسادهم. Give up on trying to feed every human being so long as their souls remain inside of their bodies. Every second that they're alive, oh Allah, I'm going to try to pull them down with me. The pulling of desire that you feel, do I ever get a break from this stuff? Shaitan's like, no. No. It's his job and his shayateen, his army. Say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is his love for you. Allah ta'ala says, so for the person right now that's sitting there thinking to themselves, like, man, I am done. Shaitan has got me. He's right. Every second I'm alive, I experience that. Allah Ta'ala said, قَالَ الرَّبُّ وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي. He said, and I promise, and I take an oath by my honor and my might, لَا أَزَالُ أُغْفِرَ لَهُمْ مَا أَسْتَغْفَرُونِي. Just try to bring them down, I will always forgive them if they come back. I will always forgive them. You will never be able to take them further than I can reach. I can forgive them in the deepest depths of where they are, as long as they know, as long as they ask. That's all that I require. Allah Ta'ala doesn't even require you to transform. He doesn't even require you to wake up as a sahabi the next day. All he wants is for those moments of tears in the night. And maybe your inside tears, because as Mohammed says, sometimes the eyes cry, sometimes the heart cries. Maybe they're tears on the inside. What have I done with myself today? And even if you go back to it tomorrow, because that's what Shaitan said, as long as you're in your, as long as your soul's in your body, he's going to come back. What you do, you come back the next night with your tawbah even stronger. And every time Shaitan throws a punch, your tawbah throws another punch back. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us those who seek his. We ask Allah Ta'ala to protect our eyes, our ears from those things that will destroy us. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us love modesty and make love beauty. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us appreciate in what he created. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to protect our hearts from desiring all those things that will take us away from him. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to make us people who are grateful for what we have, that our eyes don't wander. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to make us people who our desires, the desires are within us and the desires that come at us from outside of us, that they don't conquer us. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us strength. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to give us resolve. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to give us every single moment, every night, every single thing that we are ashamed of, that war that we are ashamed of, that we sent something that we are ashamed of, that we said something or heard something that we are ashamed of. Oh Allah, we ask you now in this gathering to replace all of those sins with good deeds. Oh Allah, you told us in the Quran that if we came to you with our hands raised and our head lowered and every mistake that we made before you, oh Allah, you told us what? That you would not just forgive us, but you would add into good. Oh Allah, in this moment, Monday night, here in this new space, dedicated for your remembrance, oh Allah, we ask you to exchange all of our bad for good. We ask you to take every mistake we've made and make it a good deed. Oh Allah, we are humbled. Oh Allah, we are shy. Oh Allah, we are regretful. And we know that we've made many mistakes. But oh Allah, your mercy is greater than anything that we could have done. And we ask to be on the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka. Does anyone have any questions before we pray Maghrib, inshallah? Just for a couple minutes. Questions. I know it's kind of hot in here, guys. We'll work on it, inshallah. Okay, khair inshallah. So the Qibla is that way. We finally found a building with a straight wall Qibla. Can you imagine how many corner masjids are in this country? So what we're going to do, inshallah, is if you have a prayer rug, I ask you to pray on the pavement, on the cement, because the cement is a little bit dusty. If you don't have a prayer rug, then you can pray on the tarp, inshallah. So we'll have the imam, inshallah, Ustadh Ubaidullah, and then we'll have the brothers, and then the sisters. JazakAllah khairan. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.